Thank you for hearing. Thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord. The children, if they haven't already gone, I think some have gone, some have. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for hearing. I believe Chaplain Ken Engel is teaching. Is Ken still here? Okay, so he already went out, so you're welcome to go if you haven't already. We're going to just play a couple excerpts in tribute also this today of an artist, a poet, and a singer, Leonard Cohen. So just going to hear a couple little excerpts from him.
When they poured across the border, I was cautioned to surrender. This I could not do. I took my gun and vanished. I have changed my name so often. I've lost my wife and children, but I've many friends, and some of them are with me. An old woman gave us shelter, kept us hidden in the garret. Then the soldiers came. She died without a whisper. There were
If it be your will that I speak no more, and my voice be still as it was before, I will speak no more. I shall abide until I am spoken for, if it be your will. If it be your will that a voice be true from this broken hill, I will sing to you from this broken hill. All your praises they shall ring, if it be your will to let me sing.
Thank you, Miranda, Nico. AJ sent a quote, AJ Maynard, I think I can say, but he's in Kuwait now, and but soon to go to Baghdad, so pray, keep him in prayer. This is a quote from Leonard Cohen, the singer you just heard. Some of you may know him, some of you may not, but it said, I'm very fond of Jesus Christ. He may be the most beautiful guy who walked the face of this earth. Any guy who says, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, has got to be a figure of unparalleled generosity and insight and madness. A man who declared himself to stand among the thieves, the prostitutes, and the homeless. His position cannot be comprehended. It is an inhuman generosity, a generosity that would overthrow the world if it was embraced, because nothing would weather that compassion. I'm not trying to alter the Jewish view of Jesus Christ, but to me, in spite of what I know about the history of legal Christianity, the figure of the man has touched me. And he's, I believe his musical career spanned over 6 decades, I believe. I hope he's with the Lord now. I can't believe he's not having with that kind of a statement. It's very hard for us, for those of you that didn't grow up Jewish, it's very hard for us, especially in, well, to many times come to faith in Yeshua because of the way we've been taught about Yeshua, about Jesus, and what to think about Jesus, and how alienated, how detached and separated he is from Jewish life and from Judaism in our minds. So for him to make that kind of a statement and being a celebrity or, you know, very, is powerful. AJ did say, I did want to mention that he said on Shabbat, this is last night, he said that, last night his time, he said, I asked him what he thought about the election and or what the military thinks, what in his being over there in it, he said, he's headed for Baghdad soon, and said consensus, he said, well, the military is going to grow again, so many find that positive. The downsizing has us the smallest we've been since pre-World War II levels. But being deployed during this volatile time has people wondering what our jobs are going to look like next spring. If the campaign rhetoric is to be trusted, it's going to get serious over here. So there is a hesitancy among many about what it all means, positive or negative. Thank you for your love and prayers. It's difficult being away, but we trust the Lord. Trust the Lord has us where he wants us for his purposes. We pray for and remember our Kol Dodi family often. Shabbat Shalom. So please keep him. I know you are. I know everyone that knows he and Dana and the children are keeping them in prayer. Okay, so I thought you'd want to hear that. And so I'm going to have to cut this shorter today, which is fine because of other things that were shared that were very important. But turn to Genesis 12, and I gave it, threw out a title on Facebook, Abram, Lot, and the Election. all right. By the way, Sean, I read part of your message. Do you still have that out there, the message you gave in Genesis? I don't know if the still out there. Yeah, it should probably be published. I read part of it, and it was just, wow, you put so much into that. It'd probably be nice to have a little booklet. Amazing. So Genesis 12, just going to touch on Genesis 12 and then go to 13. But Father, open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things from your law. Speak to us in what you want to, and direct me by your spirit and what to say and what not to. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, gal enai v'avitai nifla'ot metorotecha. B'shem Yeshua. Amen. So Abram was not young when God called him. How old was Abram? Oh, come on. It's all right. 75. Right, Roger. 75. All right. Hey, I might not have remembered if I hadn't, you know, looked it up for this message. But verse 4 says he was 75. So God called him, and we heard the verses earlier, to leave his father's house, his relatives, from his land. And so it was not close by. It was probably 400 miles or so from Haran to Canaan. And he was called to leave. Three things I'll say, I'll sort of condense it. The comforts of materialism, his money and livelihood, the comforts of that. And then the security of his relatives. Maybe the respect and the position that he had in his community with his family. And then also, the rabbis make an interesting point, the interference of his family. Perhaps his family tried or would try to stop him from serving God, says one comment by the rabbis. Interesting. And I certainly know that's true. When I went to Bible college, it sure happened to me. There was a total spiritual assault to try to stop me from going to learn the Word of God, which is why I was going, not to become anything, but just to study, take more seriously. So Avram, not yet Avraham until what chapter? Anyone remember? When his name was changed from Avram to Avraham? 17, very good. Chapter 17, his name gets changed. But God said, I will show you where you're going. Hebrews 11:8 says, and I think I have the passage up there. It says he, without knowing where. He didn't know where he'd be going yet. So this is quite a decision. And again, as I said, I know when I went to Bible college, I fasted and camped out. There were a lot of people fast. Well, anyway, I won't cut into that. But fasted and went to just camp out like Jennifer and her family are now. They sent a picture of their tent. I said, I hope you have your Tempur-Pedic pillow, which goes with me whenever I travel. For my suitcase has to have, I don't care how, I can sleep on anything if I have that pillow. But anyway, she's camping out, and they are camping out. Robert and Jennifer and the family having a break. And when I went to Bible college, I camped out overnight. I was young, and it was a huge decision. I had free university education at Temple University. My father was a professor there, and but I really felt the Lord calling me to Bible college. And so that next morning, I came in from sleeping out, and I never forget it. I found this post. There was a postcard waiting for me in the mail early in the morning, and it was from a Jewish friend that I had been corresponding with in my first year of college, back and forth. He would be going to his rabbi and writing to me back with different arguments about whether Jesus was the Messiah or not, and whether, you know, and I would write him back and give him, you know, answers from my perspective. Anyway, he wrote me to tell me he'd become a believer, that he'd embrace Yeshua. And at the bottom of his postcard, maybe it was a letter, actually. It was a letter, not a postcard, pardon me. And at the bottom of this, you know, letter, not too long, but letter, he said, he quoted Matthew 4:19 and Yeshua, and he used Yeshua. In those days, people weren't saying Yeshua instead of Jesus. He said, and Yeshua said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they left their nets at once and followed him. And that was, the Holy Spirit said, there's your answer to the prayer. Go, leave everything and go. Didn't go off well with my family. They were more upset over my decision to leave free education, university education, than they were my acceptance of Yeshua, to be honest. God answers prayers, you know. And then later I had in my quiet time, I still had fears about going, and the Lord gave me a dream from Genesis 28 of God's closeness, or in that dream it was just very, so much from the Lord. And not all dreams are from the Lord, to be sure, but this one was, and that I could relieve my fears. Well, same thing. I was thinking of signs, you know, when we left certain position that was also secure and very comfortable for us when we moved back to Nashville, must be about 15 years ago now, right, Francis? I think Francis and I were, I don't know if we were leaving the airport or coming to, I think we were leaving to go back to South Florida, and we turned on the radio, or something happened anyway, and Michael W. Smith's song, Breathe, which he didn't write, because I told him once, I thanked him for that song, I didn't write it, but he sang it still, it was the anointing, and Breathe was on, and it was for us just a sign. We just started breaking down, crying. It was just like God saying to us, you're to be here. You're God, I want you to move back here, leave certain, I won't go into, we left positions that we had that were very secure, very, you know, very good income and whatnot, and the Lord wanted us back. So when God calls you, go. And when God tells you to do it, trust him. Trust him. Even though you don't know how it's going to work out, God will honor you. And I know many of you here are planning different things. I think Raven, I remember you mentioning some plans. She's, you know, she's in Bible college. She's a serious follower of Yeshua. And you know, when the Lord calls you, I mean, I don't want to see you go. I'd love that we all stay the same. No one wants to see David and Rachel go. But when the Lord, you know, calls you, we support you. We want to honor that with you, and, you know, as your spiritual family, and still remain connected to you, I hope. You know, we'd love to. But don't be afraid to trust the Lord. God says, I will show you and where you're to go in verse 1. And Genesis 12:3, he said, and in you, how many families of the earth would be blessed? All the families. He would be the channel through which God would bless. How would that be? The Jewish people have contributed disproportionately to the world in areas such as agriculture and medicine, science, technology, chemistry, economics, physics, and faith. Among Nobel Prize recipients, world and U.S. percentages of Jewish recipients are 27% and 39%, respectively, while Jews currently only make up approximately 0.2% of the world's population and 2% of the United States population. But what about this contribution of faith? The Jewish people have protected, preserved, and propagated the Word of God, the Jewish scriptures. Think about it. The Torah, the prophets, the writings, and the New Covenant, which God, Paul says, entrusted to us as the Jewish people in Romans 3, verse 2. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. So Galatians 3, I'm just going to mention a few verses where this thought is echoed in the New Covenant, in the Brit Hadashah. In Galatians 3, verses 8 and 9, I'm not going to read a lot of this, but just verses 8 and 9, the scriptures, Paul says, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, proclaimed the good news to Abraham in advance, saying, all the nations shall be blessed through you. So then, the faithful are blessed along with Abraham, the faithful one. So the faith through the gospel, through the good news of the Messiah. And then Romans 4, verses 3 through 5, he mentions, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, which is actually from chapter 15 of Genesis, verse 6. Now to the one who works, the pay is not credited as a gift, but what is due. But to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his trust is credited as righteousness. Now James has, in Galatians 3, 5, interestingly enough, says he still does it, does miracles among us through our faith, through trust. Through emunah would be the Hebrew word. Trust and faithfulness. Now, James has an interesting take on it, which some would say is a different take. I don't see it as different, but it's kind of another application, another perspective. James 2:23, he quotes also when he says, James 2:23, the scripture is fulfilled, and Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. But that's not really the verse I want. But through Abraham, God would bless the nations. Now, all the families of the earth would be blessed. In other words, he would be the agent. Now, I said this before, the American gospel is, this is who I am, this is how I feel, and God is here to please me. The biblical gospel, the biblical good news is, this is who God is, how he feels, and we're here to please him. That's really the biblical message. One day soon, we will see passages such as these fulfilled. Zechariah 8:23, thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days it will come to pass that 10 men from every language of the nations will grasp the corner of the garment of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we've heard that God is with you. Ever read that one? Zechariah 8:23. And I love Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10. John said, and a vast multitude no one could count from every nation, all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. We're going to see that. We're going to see a new heavens and a new earth. We're going to see those that have gone on before us and our loved ones, and we're going to knew the Lord, and we're going to see them again and be with the Lord. And Jerusalem will be the capital, the heavenly Jerusalem. So we look forward to that. Genesis 13, then, we have, as Abraham travels on, going this distance, there's a conflict that develops, a challenge between he and Lot, really between their herdsmen, between which could have been many, many, maybe 500, could have been 500 plus people, really, because family, servants, livestock, supplies, possessions. He left Mesopotamia with many, many, many people. And what would be the solution? You see it in chapter 13. We read it earlier. I believe we read that passage. Abraham said, so let there be no strife. So the quarrel in verse 7 between the shepherds of Abraham's livestock and the shepherds of Lot's livestock. And Abraham said, please let there be no strife between me and you, or between my shepherds and yours, since we are relatives. And basically he said, listen, I'm going to defer. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. And He valued unity and testimony and peace over possession and power, ambition and competition. So the answer to dissension in our relationships is condescension. The answer to disputes is deference. The remedy to relational conflict in our relationships is in compromise. I'm not talking about compromise on morals or biblical principles, but compromise in terms of us getting our way and having to see it done our way. So many times where our sphere is only, we only see, you know, very limited way. The answer, the solution to strife is servanthood. And that's what this message, this story really teaches. Abraham's model, if we look at verses 8 and 9, we see he said, I don't want there to be strife. We're relatives. Please go to the right. I'll take the left, right, etc. And then we see in verses 14 and 15, again, because Lot chose the attractive area that was basically Sodom. And we know what happened there later. We'll see later. But he chose what was attractive outwardly and made a decision based upon the wrong motives, really. But after Lot separated from him, the Lord said to Avram in verse 14, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are to the north, south, east, and west. For all the land that you're looking at, I will give to you and your seed forever. Wow. You see that principle? Once he let go and trusted God, when he humbled himself and deferred, God blessed him. Then God spoke to him and said, I'll give you more than you could have gotten maybe if you tried to hang on to it your own way, do it your own way. And I'm not saying how this applies in our lives. God has to show us, you know, there's times to fight for things and not to, you know, give in to the wrong things, but by all means. But in relationships here, if we trust God and let go many times, if we die to ourselves, the Lord will add and the Lord will bless. And our nation is very divided right now, generationally, racially, economically. The popular vote in the presidential election was roughly 50-50. Actually, of course, Senator Clinton won the popular vote from the last tally I saw. But Donald Trump won the electoral vote. I do love the fact that the pollsters, very arrogant many times, got it all wrong. Because I think of 1 Corinthians 3:18-19, let no one deceive himself. If anyone thinks he's wise in this age, let him become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the sight of God. For its wisdom, it's written, he catches the clever in their craftiness. 1 Corinthians 3:18-19. I believe that God Most High, El Elyon, is in charge, and he's on his throne. And there are three names of God, interestingly enough, used in the parsha this week. God Most High, thank you, Miranda, for that. God Most High, El Elyon, let's say El Elyon. And then God who sees, El Roi, let's say El Roi, El Roi. And then let's say El Shaddai. El Shaddai, God Almighty, literally means God of my breast. Shad is breast, God of my breast. And I won't go into different meanings, you know, applications and how we can see that. But these three, God Almighty is giving us a chance as a nation again. And Senator Clinton gave a very, I don't know if you heard her, very heartfelt concession speech. I'll have an excerpt from it here. She said, last night I congratulated Donald Trump and offered to work with him on behalf of our country. I hope that he will be a successful president for all Americans. And this is what we have to pray for and watch. We have seen that our nation is more deeply divided, she said, than we thought, but I still believe in America and always will. And if you do, then we must accept the result and then look to the future. Donald Trump is going to be our president. We owe him an open mind and the chance to lead. Why isn't everybody following that? Our constitutional democracy enshrines the peaceful transfer of power. We don't just respect that, we cherish it. It also enshrines the rule of law. The principle we are all equal in rights and dignity, freedom of worship and expression. We respect and cherish these values too, and we must defend them. Great speech. Great, I mean, and I, you know, listen, we're going to end this time praying for actually all, just a short time of praying for all of them. And President-elect Donald Trump gave an unusually humble victory speech. Here's an excerpt from it. He said, "Hillary has worked very long and very hard over a long period of time, and we owe her a major debt of gratitude for her service to our country. I mean that very sincerely. Now it's time for America to bind the wounds of division. We have to get together. To all Republicans and Democrats and independents across the nation, I say it's time for us to come together as one united people. It's time. I pledge to every citizen of our land that I will be president for all Americans, and this is so important to me. For those who have chosen not to support me in the past, get out." No, he didn't say that. "Not to support me in the past, of which there were a few people," he said, "I'm reaching out to you for your guidance and your help so we can work together and unify our great country." And I don't know if you saw the meeting with him and President Obama, but, I like that he said afterwards, he said, "I plan to keep in, you know, to even ask his counsel on areas, you know." Time will tell of all this. We know that, but we have to pray and work for the things that we believe in. But let's give time a chance. I don't want to say let's give peace a chance. That's from my Vietnam era. When was that? So, but unfortunately, there are those who are arrogantly boasting on the one side, and there are those who are childishly protesting on the other. Truly, as they say, and I understand it. They feel, you know, the hurts there. And Sean shared beautifully on his class on both a little about that. But only time will tell, as I said. It's our responsibility to continue to earnestly pray and to make our voices heard both in heaven and in our local spheres of government. We must be more than willing to serve as peacemakers, like Yeshua said. "Blessed are the peacemakers," Matthew 5:9, and as servants. Be part of the medicinal solution rather than a source of ongoing irritation. God Almighty is giving us a chance. A 13-year-old daughter wrote her dad, "I've been thinking about all this arguing over Trump and Clinton, and I realize that everyone is arguing with friends, family, strangers, neighbors, all over two people who don't even know who we are. Honestly, they don't make America what it is. We do. The people are what make America. And the more divided we become, the worse the outcome will be." 13-year-old daughter. "The great thing," she said, "about all this is that we can agree to disagree. If we keep this up, the division, America will break because of us, not the president. And I think people need to understand that before it's too late." Wow. So I would say for us as Yeshua followers, there's some passages in our personal relationships within his body, as well as towards those outside, that we could consider. Psalm 133 we read earlier, so I won't read it again, but "Hinei matovu manayim shevet achim gam yachad." Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together. Notice that whether it's the dew from Mount Hermon, on the oil, first the oil running down Aaron's beard, both, did you notice about both of them? They descend. It's a humbling. It's unity comes as we humble ourselves and esteem others better than ourselves in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. And don't look at only our own interests, but put others before us and humble ourselves. That's where unity comes from. You know the grace of our Lord Yeshua, Adon Yeshua HaMashiach, Paul said, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might become rich. He humbled himself in Philippians 2. And I've mentioned this story. I'll close with it before, and then we'll pray together just for a few minutes to close. But this illustration by Richard Wurmbrand, my favorite one of my favorites, about an orchestra and a conductor. He said, the British publication New Society conducted a psychological survey of players in symphony orchestras. It shows that brass and string players, especially oboists, are considered as neurotics by their colleagues in the orchestra. Violin and viola players have uneasy, mutually deprecatory attitudes. The wonder, especially our violin, no. The wonder is that people who tend to be mutually hostile to each other can produce the effect of order and harmony. The moment the conductor lifts his baton, all these emotions are set apart. Only one thing counts now, the success of the concert. The children of this world, Wormbrand says, are sometimes wiser than the children of light. It is unavoidable, that's quoting Yeshua, it's unavoidable that believers, men and women of such different backgrounds, temperaments, experiences of life, cultural levels, nations, races, and social classes should disagree in many things and feel even, however slightly, some hostility toward each other. We are not only partakers of the divine nature, we're human also. But the human side should be put aside for the common worship and the common action in the service of our Lord, he said. Ask yourself what is greater, the cause which we serve in common or the matter in which we differ. Then you will have the right attitude of love. So, praise the Lord. I'm going to ask us to break up in groups of three and four for just a few minutes, just 2 or 3 minutes, 3 minutes, let's say, and so just make short prayers if you want, but break up groups of 3 and 4 right where you are, you know, and pray for our President President Obama, our President-elect Trump, Donald Trump, our elected and newly elected officials, and our nation, and then for our unity and testimony as the body of Messiah, of our Messianic Jewish community and the broader church body, whether here in Nashville or in our nation, and also overseas in areas we know or minister in Israel. I'm giving you a lot to pray for. Just pray as God leads you. But especially, and also for Senator Clinton, of course, you know, and pray. You know, God can do anything, can he? God is a God of miracles. And as we pray and as we humble ourselves and serve and fight for the things that we believe in, be vocal, heaven and on earth, in the Lord, God can move. So let's just do that for just a few minutes. Groups of 3 and 4, if you could.